This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hey, welcome into This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert with you, my partner, Armand Kachigian. Today, August 4th, the events, births, deaths, everything you want, needed, or thought you needed to know about the 4th of August throughout the annals of time. And, of course, we're brought to you by lineupmedia.fm, home to over 40 podcasts, including a very relevant one this past week with some bad news about some allergy-related deaths, parenting food allergies with Sue Webb, a mother who deals exclusively with her podcast talking about issues related to having a child with food allergies. Never more serious or prescient than this week. We're also brought to you by Amazon.com and Audible.com. Whenever we have a book, movie, or other recommendation for you, we will tell you where to get it through This Day in History's website, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and, of course, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet. All righty, Armand.
All right.
Where would you like to begin today? I start as early as the old AD, which we now say C.
Right.
Where the...
Enough of this. We've talked about this.
Yeah. Well, the siege is over, folks. The siege is over.
Who won?
The temple is destroyed, and Titus is victorious, and the Romans have basically blitzed through Jerusalem.
That's what Romans do.
Yep. And your Herod's temple is gone. Boy, Jerusalem suffered a lot, hasn't it? Mm. My God. Again, I just want to know why it's so valuable. Why?
Titus wanted a piece of it.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's why?
Insatiable Roman quest.
You ever drink champagne?
Once in a while.
You're not a big drinker, are you?
You're a little too far ahead.
I am? What do you got before 1693 then, good sir?
1265, the Second Barons' Rebellion War, Second Barons' War.
What are they rebelling against? They're barons.
Well, we've all heard of the Magna Carta, 1215.
Yes.
That wasn't good enough.
They needed more.
Yeah, they wanted more concessions. That was King John. Now we're talking about Henry III, or actually Simon de Montfort. Montfort was king at this time. He had kind of arrogated the regency to himself. And anyway, they fought at the Battle of Evesham.
De Montfort.
Yes,
Simon de Montfort. Is that who de Montfort University in Leicester is named for?
Probably is, yeah,
okay.
Because his son was he's the Earl of Leicester.
That's it.
So
that's it. I had a friend who teaches at De Montfort in Leicester.
You know who he was.
Yeah, I have an idea. Yes, yeah.
Well, he fought the Barons' War, and he actually, a lot of the powers of the king were divested because of him. Anyway, that, you know, other people that wanted to be king didn't like that. So Henry III, who didn't really fight at the battle. His son, Edward I, the future Edward I, fought at this battle. Evesham cleaved de Montfort's son, Henry.
Yeah.
Cleaved him
in half?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oof.
Yeah. So then he kind of lost his zest to fight, and then somebody put a lance. I believe it was Roger Mortimer killed him with a lance. So that was the end of Simon de Montfort, the end of his year-long reign. But there were a lot of... it wasn't parliament at the time, but what we would consider to be parliamentary changes, taking some of the power from the king. So it's very important. Second Barons' War.
Oh.
That he screwed up. He went on that stupid Barons' Crusade. And when he got back, things weren't quite so good anymore. You don't leave England.
No.
Because,
no.
You know, you do that and you got trouble. Richard the Lionheart.
No, don't leave.
Should have known that.
Do not leave. Mm-mm. Nope. No, sir. You're the king. You're the queen. Stay put.
Yeah. Even with Eleanor of Aquitaine traveling topless with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Even then, no. Stay put. So these guys had a weakening of the monarchy and representational democracy, which is...
Well, it started. You know, like I said, a lot of the king's powers were divested. But interesting thing, when they finally killed him, Mortimer killed him, Simon de Montfort, they cut his head off. You know,
Why? He's dead.
Then they cut off his balls and they teabagged. He, the only man to teabag himself, laid his balls right over his nose just to show everybody. Now, I think that's...
Isn't that about one step too far?
Kind of superfluous, isn't it? Yeah, that's gratuitous. Anyway, and then they cut off his hands and his feet and, you know, gave pieces of him to everybody. And whatever happened, just putting his head on a pike, you know? Now, this guy, I mean, that's what they did with him. And then they buried him, and it was on holy ground, and they said, wait, we're not burying this guy on holy ground. So they disinterred him.
Oh, God, leave the poor man alone!
Buried him under a tree. So, yeah, he had his problems.
All right. Oh, Simon de Montfort.
Yeah, who was going to talk about that's been... There was a guy last week I was been...
Beautiful university, moved, by the way.
This guy's been moved his like six times.
Oh,
disinterred,
no.
You know? I've been trying to think of who it was.
Well, you know, Lincoln's been moved around a bit.
Hindenburg? Yeah.
Paul Vaughn?
Yeah. Huh. I think they moved him a bunch of times. They buried him and then... Yeah. They're worried about
that. That's the beauty of being cremated, I think.
I'm going to check that
They can out. Move you around as much as they want. You're not disturbing anything. Just pick up the vase and leave.
Well, I mean, you know, grave robbing's a great way to make money.
Yeah, well, it used to be, right? Is it still?
Yeah.
Who still robs graves today?
Well, enterprising young men.
Really? You seem like you have some knowledge of this.
I wrote a script. A guy
about grave robbers, modern grave robbers?
That's how he made money.
What a nasty bit. Okay. How about now, 1693?
Yes.
Well, if you don't like champagne, good news is it's not clear whether this guy actually invented it.
What musical is that from? The Night They Invented Champagne.
Oh, damn it. I have no idea. I'm complete blank.
Gigi.
Gigi. Oh, that's why I'm a complete blank. I've never seen it. However, this man has been credited as an innovator and a developer who made the techniques possible used to perfect sparkling wine. The drink takes its name from the region, but the date here traditionally ascribed to one Dom Perignon, August the 4th.
What was he, a Franciscan?
1693, and the invention of champagne.
Speaking of exhuming bodies, you know, did you see they exhumed Salvador Dali's body?
Why? Check on his mustache?
It was still intact, by the way.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
They want to check on somebody, of course, some woman.
DNA.
Claims to be his daughter. Yeah. But, yeah, his little curly Q mustache was intact.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Anyway. You know what? Armand, I've never had a glass of Dom Perignon.
No, I haven't either.
I don't even know how many glasses of real champagne I've ever had, because I think what I've actually drank is sparkling wine from California, because they can't use the champagne moniker.
Right. Well, it has to come from Champagne.
From Champagne.
Provence, Provence.
Yeah. Just like Bordeaux has to come from Bordeaux, and Burgundy has to come from Burgundy, and bourbon has to come from Kentucky.
Yep, that's what they say.
All right, 1790. Well, little creation of a tariff act here gets passed.
Yeah, I love these.
Do you? Because I didn't know how you were going to sit on this one. So it's called the Revenue Cutter Service, a newly passed tariff act that creates the Revenue Cutter Service. You know what the Revenue Cutter Service becomes?
Yeah, I've got a pretty good idea.
It becomes the Coast Guard.
Yep.
It's the forerunner of the Coast Guard, a much needed and... Also much...
For what? Sort of, as a smuggling?
No.
What?
No. So Coast Guard, they guard the coast.
Against what?
Against our own people who go out there and get themselves in trouble.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's so you call the Coast Guard. They come help you.
Yeah, some idiot rows out too far and gets caught in the Gulf Stream.
Yes.
And, okay, that's...
Call the Coast Guard.
But where's the academy? Isn't that in New London?
New London, Connecticut, or Groton, Connecticut?
I don't think it's in Groton.
No, Groton's where the submarine manufacturer was, or maybe still is.
Yeah, here it is. Hindenburg's remains were moved six times.
There you go, six
times. 12 years.
Yeah.
Well, I knew somebody had been dug up a bunch of times.
Hey, man, the Coast Guard's, it's important. Look,
we waste money on everything else. Why not on this?
We waste money saving our citizens if they get in trouble.
Well, this is different. This is when they were collecting a tariff, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Now they don't collect the stupid tariff anymore.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
now they're out there looking for drug runners.
They're looking for drug runners.
Okay,
where
are we? Coast Guard. That's the Navy's duty. Let the Navy do it.
Is it?
Yeah, instead of going out the, Gulf and protecting Taiwan and the Straits of Hormuz, let them protect our borders, our coast. Yeah, it's just stupid.
Wow.
Are we going to get Trump's thinking about getting out of Afghanistan? I hope he does it. I don't think what's his name, the guy I hate,
McMaster.
McMaster's going to let him.
You think I'll let him?
He's got a hard on. He wants to send more troops.
Oh boy,
I hate that guy.
I know you did. 1821, Saturday Evening Post published for the first time as a weekly newspaper.
I never read either. One. I mean, Rockwell. Would anybody know about this whole thing?
I don't know. I do remember seeing some copies laying around older relatives' houses,
dentist's office,
and I never looked at
them. Don't have this. I have pen. Never. In my waiting room.
Oh, what a!
Good for patients.
You're like the dentist from Seinfeld.
Oh, really? Did he have porn in his?
Was it Todd Gack or Bryan Cranston played him?
But
he had penthouses in the waiting room.
Well, wasn't there a Seinfeld where there was a podiatrist and Elaine was dating him and
yes,
busted his chops about not being a real doctor?
Yes,
she's right. He's not.
Who doesn't love the pinky toe? I think that's a line.
The
pinky toe.
18. Call that the digitus minimus.
Digitus minimus? Yes. Is that the real thing? Yeah. Is that the name?
Yeah. The big toe is your hallux.
Your hallux?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm learning. 1873. Well, not the big story about Lieutenant Colonel.
Just a little skirmish.
George Armstrong Custer.
If anything, this emboldened him.
Yeah, he gets into a little deal protecting a railroad survey party out in Montana.
Golden hair.
He's the, of course, leading the 7th Cavalry, Lieutenant Colonel George Armstrong Custer. And for the first time, he's going to clash with the Cheyenne and the Lakota Indians near the Tongue River.
And he liked it.
And he got a little taste of action.
It was fun.
Only one person per side is killed.
Hey, nobody's hurt.
So why not?
Yeah.
Why not scale this up? Why not get ready for a 3 years later and really...
We know it's coming later, yeah.
Which, to me, is... I've read the whole book on Custer at...
Didn't his brother have 2 congressional medals?
I think so, yeah. It's fascinating, Little Bighorn. It's absolutely fascinating because I got to give, even though Cosby is a real piece of you-know-what today.
How do you know? He's acquitted.
In one case, he was acquitted.
Nothing has been proven.
But his bit about the coin tosses in history where it's Sitting Bull versus General Custer and Custer loses the toss and Sitting Bull says... You get to go wait down there in that valley, and me and all the Indians in the world will ride right down on top of you. That's how this will start.
Well, if you want to see a not very accurate or absolutely ridiculous portrayal of this, check out Errol Flynn, and they died with their boots
on.
And if you believe that, then watch Charge of the Light Brigade, which is equally as non-historical, but had some great spectacle.
1892.
Anthony Quinn as Crazy Horse.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Quinn, because he was Greek.
Yeah. I don't know what he was.
Was he Greek?
No, I think he's Mexican.
Oh, let's have the Hispanic guy Native American. He could play them all.
Yeah, that's why I liked him.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure he's Mexican.
I'm right, though. He does play Zorba the Greek, right?
Of course. Yeah, well, that's why everybody thinks he is Greek, but I'm pretty sure he's not.
Yeah, see what Anthony Quinn is.
I'll lay you money. He's Mexican.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. What's the real name?
Yeah, Antonio Rodolfo Quinn Oaxaca. Oaxaca, I guess. O-A-X-A-C-A.
Oaxaca. Wakasa.
The X is a C?
Wakasa.
All right.
I think.
My casa is Yusuka.
It's a Wakasa is a state.
That's right. Yeah. It's got to be. He's Mexican then, right?
Mm-hmm. 1892. Lizzie Borden. Well, her father.
O.J. Simpson of her day.
The father and the stepmother of old Lizzie, they're found murdered on this date, August the 4th, in Fall River, Massachusetts.
Then, I was reading up on this.
In their home.
They think that her mother might have caught her having a LGBT relationship with their maid. That pissed her off. Yeah, he's born in Chihuahua, Mexico.
Chihuahua. Oh, northern Mexico then. Yeah.
No. Told you.
So Lizzie's tried and acquitted for the crimes later in the year, but this is the day that the bodies attributed to Lizzie Borden, the father and the stepmother, are found murdered, Fall River, Mass.
It was moita.
It was... Oh.
All right. What, no, she got away with it.
Lizzie Borden, so though, such a great name. Because it sounds like an ice cream. You want to go get a Lizzie Borden?
Sounds like a piece of clothing. Isn't that a, what's that, Dolly Varden? You sure of that? That's from a Dickens novel.
I'm not sure, but I think you're on to that. I think you're on to something there. Yeah.
Same thing. This is just a red garment.
Well, just stained red.
With many, like when Shemp did the, remember? In the
mini air,
the haberdashery.
Mini air vents.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, brush him off and had a razor in it. My wife loves it. Can you make me a pair of pants to match? He had a loose baste.
Baste. 1914, the German invasion of Belgium. Belgium and the British Empire declare war on Germany on this date.
All right.
The United States, Armand, you'll be happy to know, on August 4th, 1914, declared neutrality.
Of course they did.
Didn't last for long.
Yeah, that's because Wilson was running for re-election. You know?
Right.
But anyway, this is here, and this gave the British H.H. Asquith an excuse. And Earl Grey. Earl Grey was the guy who really wanted to fight the Germans. That guy, I think the same guy that brought you the tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so he had a hard-on to fight the Kaiser, and okay, so all of a sudden, yeah, the Germans are spitting babies on their bayonets and cutting the tits off women.
Right, right, and, every atrocity.
Yeah, and then Wilson hires Edward Bernays to sell the war to everybody, and he, you know, let's make some posters.
Yeah, marketing.
The Huns, you know, bayoneting, you know, pikes and all that shit. And
marketing, baby.
Yeah, you get how many people dead? 25 million?
Well, look at even trying to get U.S. servicemen to sign up and enlist in World War II. Look at the marketing they did with the propaganda films and everything. All right. Halfway through our events, let's see who was born on this date. 1792, Percy Shelley.
Percy Bysshe Shelley. Yeah.
Bysshe Shelley. Yeah. Spelled with two S's. Yeah. B-Y-S-S-H-E.
He died in, let's see, I think he's on one of those Greek islands, too. They buried him.
Oh, no kidding. Is he there the night Mary?
No, he drowned. He drowned.
He drowned?
That's right. They didn't bury him. They never found him.
They never found him.
He drowned in the Aegean, I believe.
Is he there the night Mary Shelley dreams up Frankenstein and tells him?
I guess. They're probably sleeping together.
Yeah.
That's his wife.
Well, I would hope so, but you never know.
Never marry a feminist, man. That's
mean, but did they really sit around and listen to her recant the tale?
Well,
the
tale? Look at Bride of Frankenstein, that's the way. I don't know about that one. But I think it was true that they did have some kind of contest.
Yeah.
Byron and Shelley and all them who could come up with the
pretty
most
good, man.
Yeah, horrific tale.
1821, happy birthday, Louis Vuitton. French fashion designer, of course. You see his mark all over luggage today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
1900, the Queen Mother, Queen Elizabeth of the UK.
She lived to be, what, 102 or something?
102 or 101
something
before
like
she, She was born August 4th, 1900.
Oh, he died in the Gulf of La Spezia. This is Shelley, Kingdom of Sardinia, which is Italy.
Italy.
Mediterranean. Yep. Okay, so it's not Greece. Oh, he was out. Yeah, I think he went out with a couple guys. They had no idea what the hell they're doing.
Oh, no. I mean, see, they needed the Coast Guard. That's he'd be here if they had a Coast Guard, Armand. And
I'm sure the Italians did have a Coast Guard.
Yeah, they had fishing boats. That's what they had. Coast Guard.
Their Coast Guard was on the the Appian Way.
Yeah. 1901, Louis Armstrong, the great trumpet player, singer. Big Satchmo. And 1918, how about this one, Armand? Iceberg Slim, American pimp and author.
Oh, well, I like the pimp part.
Well, you don't know about Iceberg Slim?
No.
Well, that's your homework. You need to go look this guy up.
Anybody's a pimp is okay.
I'm telling you.
How about, you missed a couple.
Who'd I miss?
Well, for 1904, Helen Kane. Even though you don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
That is the inspiration. She sang a song called I Want to Be Loved by You.
I want to be loved by
you. Yeah, she was the inspiration for Betty Boop.
Be-doo.
And if you look at her picture, it's Betty Boop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She has the round face and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's Betty Boop. And then David Raxon. I think I don't have his birthday now. Let me figure it out. He died in 2004. I believe he was 92. He was old, man. So he had to be 92? What does that make it? 1912? I'm going to go out and say 1912.
Yeah. Or 13.
You don't even know who he is.
Nope, don't.
Okay, another great composer, man.
Oh, yeah?
Laura. He did the Laura theme, which is like one of the most played pieces, I think. It was.
Was he always composing for film, or was he composing mostly for film?
He did the orchestration for Chaplin on Modern Times.
Oh man,
that was 36.
Oh, these are big deals.
Yeah, but Laura's is big one. Bad and the Beautiful was another one of his, and But that Laura theme is haunting.
Haunting. Yeah. Is it? Are there some minor chords in it?
We've already gone over that. I don't know. Depends on your triad.
All right. 1920. Helen Thomas, American journalist and author.
Yes.
Armand says she's deplorable and the ugliest woman in Washington.
Yeah, deplorable.
I thought she was a great White House correspondent, and I enjoyed her questions over the years.
I didn't mind her giving Bush. I mean, she gave him all kinds of hell. But
she did. Yeah.
She loved Obama.
Yeah, she did.
Who? How come he's not on? Oh, there he is.
He's on. Don't worry.
I saved up a big raspberry for him.
1949, John Riggins, Washington Redskins.
When was that he was sitting by? Was it Dale O'Connor?
He had
Sandra Dale O'Connor.
He had some big faux pas.
Loosen up, baby. What a class act.
Oh man,
belching and shit.
What a running back, though. Fullback, running back, whatever you want to call him. Boy, his run in Super Bowl 17.
Is it Super Bowl 17? Was it the Raiders?
No, they lost to the Raiders.
Well, one of them, he chewed up
the Dolphins and won. Yeah, he broke off a 44-yarder in that one to pretty much seal the game away. That might have been a game out in at the Rose Bowl, actually, Armand. That might have been Super Bowl 17. And then Super Bowl 18 was Raiders and Redskins.
Yeah.
Redskins were trying to defend. Super Bowl 19 was then Dolphins and Niners.
Yeah. The Raiders beat them?
Yeah. Trounced them pretty good,
too. Like 38 to 9.
Yeah. But they're really. Now, the Raiders have already moved to Los Angeles at this point.
Right.
But, they had won Super Bowl 15 while still in Oakland, and they won Super Bowl 18 in Los Angeles. Span of 4 years.
The Diesel and Riggo.
Yeah, good running back, baby. 1955, I love this guy. I know a lot of people don't. I love him. I think he's great. Billy Bob Thornton.
I don't think he's that guy. I liked Sling Blade, but other than that,
he's been good in a lot of things.
Well, I know. He's okay.
He's really good in supporting roles.
Yeah, I'm talking about as a writer.
As a writer?
I don't think he's done much else.
As a writer, you got to give him Sling Blade.
He was ready to pack it in and go back to Tennessee or wherever.
Yeah, from Arkansas.
Sling Blade.
From Arkansas. Yeah, big Cardinal fan. He's been up here St. Louis before, many times to the ballpark.
On your show?
Yes, he has been. He has been a guest. In fact, he's even been a call-in guest, which is for somebody of his stature to pick up the phone and call that's pretty rare. But he did. In fact, we had a great, he did that Monsters Ball movie.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And now everyone always asks him about Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
What's
her name?
Our crew didn't. In Monsters Ball, he has that scene with Halle Berry.
which is
really raw and really intense.
Yes.
And he is asked about that scene. And his reply was, that there's good work if you can get it.
All right, Billy Bob.
And I've been a fan ever since.
Glad that he hasn't altered. Still from the mountains. Still from the Ozarks.
Oh, yes, he is.
Still affects that rube sort of persona.
1961, Barack Obama. Okay.
Right.
45th
enough said.
President of the United States. Nobel Prizer.
Born in Kenya?
Right. No. Hawaii.
Oh, come on. Nairobi.
Hawaii.
No. Mombasa.
Hawaii.
I think he's one of the Mau Mau.
Oh, Jesus. That is fucking awful.
What's wrong with that?
He's from Hawaii. His father was a Kenyan. He was born in Hawaii.
I hate him.
What? What did he do?
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, after the first 2 years,
Obamacare. That's it.
Okay.
How would you like to have a profession and some jerk comes and ruins it for everybody?
After the first two years, what was he going to get done with a Republican Senate and House? What was he going to get done? What is he going to get done?
Why was there a Republican Senate and House?
Because
he's black. Because he's a fuck up. That's why.
Oh, okay.
He had 2 years. And he screwed everything.
Really? In 2 years, he inherits the worst economy ever.
Unbelievable. That's wrong.
That's
absolutely
wrong. That's
you
wrong.
Know that's
so it's
wrong.
Not falling apart.
Of course not.
It's all good.
Of course not. Bush signed TARP. Isn't that supposed to save everybody? Bush signed that, not him. TARP. I would have let it die. Yeah, if I were in charge, it would have been. Let the banks go. To hell with them.
You have congressional leadership. Mitch McConnell, stand up and say, we are doing everything in our power to whatever he brings forward.
He's nuts. He's a socialist. Right. Could you imagine what he would have done had they given him a free rein? We'd have single payer, which I guess you like. That's a great idea. It only costs $32 trillion. Did you see that study just came out?
Yeah, I'm aware of what it costs. $32
Okay. Oh, so we should have it.
I didn't say that.
That's what he wanted.
I'm aware of what it costs.
Okay. What do you think an unfettered Barack Obama would have done?
I don't know.
We'd be drowning in EPA regulations. He's a socialist. Now, that's not a pejorative term to guys like you. A lot of people think that's great. Your problem is he didn't do enough. God, what do you want? It's like a headache ball didn't do enough to the building. It's shattered. This guy's a piece of shit.
Oh, wow.
Horrible president. How can he have 8 years and not have 3% growth? In fact, I don't think he made 2% most of the years in GDP. Didn't your economics teacher tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
A coiled spring? Mm-hmm. That's what a recession is, right? Mm-hmm. Only this guy could screw up our economy.
Okay. Yeah.
Look what we had. We had 2.6 last quarter. Mm-hmm. This guy could only dream of that. Right? QED, quo erat demonstratum. Trump is better already. And I hope he demolishes everything this son of a bitch started.
And it affected your life so negatively. How?
I retired. That's how.
You retired.
I stopped practicing medicine. What do you think I did? Because I got sick of it? I'm not going to practice for this guy. Let Obama tell me how I'm going to treat my patients. That's the honest to God truth. Why do you think I closed it up? I don't care anymore. And believe me, I'm not the only doctor. A lot of my friends have the same thing. They're sick of this crap. This guy took over 1/6 of the economy. If that's not socialism, I don't know what is. Now, you may think that's great, but I don't know any doctors have voted for him. Okay? You think patient care is going to get better with single payer?
I didn't say that.
But that's what he wants. This guy wants, he believes in climate change to the point he's going to wreck the economy on a stupid, ridiculous notion that has no scientific backing whatsoever. And even if it did, is it worth it? Is it worth destroying the economy so the temperature doesn't go up 2 degrees? I mean, that's the kind of foolishness this guy's wanted. So when you tell me that his hands were tied, which they weren't, God forbid, you're a racist if you don't go with Obama.
See, now you're leaping. Good grief.
You want me to get on YouTube and show you? How many times have people been accused of being a racist if you don't agree with this guy's foolishness? Policies of an imbecile.
19.
And on top of everything, he doubled the national debt. That in itself, right? Tore up the Constitution. Not that Bush didn't, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a guy that ran on fiscal responsibility, just like Roosevelt. What did he lambaste Bush about? He spends too much. Look at how much he spent. Look at our debt. This guy doubles it. And you call him a success. And he still couldn't get GDP to grow. Case closed.
1962.
And he's a Kenyan.
Roger Clemens.
He's a Kenyan too.
I don't know that Roger's Kenyan.
I think he's born in Djibouti.
I don't even think he's Djiboutian.
No, I love Roger Clemens.
Because he took steroids?
Great pitcher.
He's a hell of a pitcher. There's no doubt about it. Steroids or not, I don't care.
Well, the batters were taking steroids.
I don't care. He was a hell of a pitcher.
Right.
I got to see him pitch a lot. I did. He was dominating most of the time.
I never saw him in person.
The one time that he wasn't dominating was Game 7 of the 2004 National League Championship Series, where Scott Rolen tagged him for a 3-run shot in the 6th.
Really?
Yeah.
That was Clemens?
Yeah, that was Clemens. That was Clemens. Houston had their ace going, one game away from the World Series.
I remember that.
I think they were up 3-2 or 3-1 at the time, and Rollins turned on a fastball. And, I mean, a good fastball. Clemens was throwing 96, 97 that night.
Yeah, who was the guy with the bloody sock? Was that Schilling?
Yeah, that was Curt Schilling in Boston. You know, the World Series, not the LCS.
Yeah.
So. Then
Clemens won with the Yankees, didn't he?
Oh, he won wherever he went.
Well, I'm saying World Series.
Oh, yeah.
He had some rings, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But Boston he never won with.
Boston in 86, they lost that to the Mets. Well, he had already pitched in
the
series.
That old? Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah, 62. Yeah. Clemens is a rookie that year. That's his rookie year, 1986. Yeah.
Anyway, is he in the Hall?
He should be, and I think he will be, regardless of.
He's not eligible yet?
I don't know that it's been 5 total years since he's been retired.
He's got to be the first ballot.
You know, plus, you know, he pitched into his 40s with great success.
Yeah.
And he's another reason that I think that, you know, under the right conditions, you probably should. be allowing steroids.
24 seasons, man.
Yeah, you should probably be allowing steroids because the way he worked out off season, you know, because he knew at the up that once he hit the upper ages, you know, 30s and then early 40s, you got to do extra, but your body doesn't recover the same way.
Well, so how much of an 35?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Armand,
let everybody.
I've said that too. Just tell us what they're on.
Let's see, career. What is WAR?
That's your WAR. That's what's it's a Bill James statistic that means wins above replacement. So if you have a positive WAR, you know you're that much better than the person that the average person who could come in and replace you.
140.3. What does that mean?
He's you basically can't replace Roger Clemens is what
well,
that
he won
means.
354 games, man. 354, 184 losses.
Well, that's
300 wins. You should be in the Hall anyway.
Yeah,
right?
But look at the winning percentage.
You want to take a shot at his ERA?
Probably the low threes.
3.12.
Yeah.
Seven times Cy Young winner.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this guy's got to be a Hall of Fame, man.
Yeah, he nailed it. Everywhere he went, he was a success.
When did he retire? I still can't see when.
Well, he did. You know, he would come back in August of a couple seasons.
This is 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
he's not in the Hall?
Well, he's check his eligibility. As long as he's getting enough votes to still be eligible.
Can't believe they're not putting him in the Hall.
Well, look, Rafael Palmeiro's never going in. A-Rod is never going in.
Why not? Oh, because of the roids?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, well, all right.
Hey,
okay.
The baseball writers have...
Bullshit, man. Of course. Now it makes sense.
All right. Here's another guy who'll be in a Hall of Fame. 1971. Happy birthday, Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon.
Who do you play for?
He played for Team Hendrick.
Oh.
Hendrick Motorsports, number 24. The third winningest NASCAR driver of all time.
Okay.
And
you say so.
When I covered NASCAR, I saw him win quite a bit. I think I saw him win 9 times in person.
I've actually heard of him, so he must be pretty good.
And he was a good driver.
Well, he's only 2-time World Series champ.
Yeah, yeah. Once.
7-time Cy Young Award.
7 times.
AL MVP in 86.
Well, that's the thing. He won an MVP as a pitcher.
Yeah.
That's,
2-time Triple Crown?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
4-time MLB wins leader.
Yeah.
7-time ERA leader. 5-time AL strikeout leader.
I can remember him pitching in college at Texas, too.
So it's the steroids are keeping him out. What a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah. This is, look.
During late in his late career, too. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, these seasons where he won the Triple Crown, he wasn't taking steroids.
Oh, who knows what he was doing? I don't really care.
I don't either. I remember this. A mistrial. Yeah, remember, didn't this go before Congress and everything? Case closed, as if the Senate doesn't have better things to do. Ugh.
So that's my birthdays today. Happy birthday. Probably Iceberg Slim. Again, check him out.
David Raxon.
All right. 1944.
That's a death.
Back to the events.
You have him?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
It was on this day that a Dutch informant goes and tells the Gestapo and then leads them.
Well, they're not sure about this.
I know, but this is the way the story is portrayed. And then leads the Gestapo to a house in a sealed-off area of an Amsterdam warehouse where they find and arrest Anne Frank and her family as well as 4 others.
You seen that movie? Millie Perkins?
Yeah.
She was Anne Frank, and I think Shelley Winters won the Academy Award for that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was, I don't know, she was like the other family. Joseph Schildkraut.
What is your motivation for turning in a family?
You think?
God's sake.
Well, I don't know. You never know. I mean, it could be to save somebody else. You know, you get the.
I want to believe it's that, Armand.
Well, it could be. You got the Gestapo up your ass. Say, listen, hey, boys.
I want to believe this.
I got some information. Might be interesting.
The Gestapo's got this guy's kids or something. And
yeah. So you never know.
And either.
Listen, that's when civilization. Decays. That's
just,
it.
Just ceases.
Well, that's what's going to happen. You know, just think if we had EMP or something, and there's no food, no electricity, no water. What do you think's going to happen around here? I'll kill you and eat you. So you better learn how to defend yourself. Well, I don't know. How's that? What is that from Road to Morocco where Bing was going to eat Bobby? You're a little soft. You should have eaten more oatmeal as a kid. I couldn't live off you for more than 3 or 4 days. Remember that? They're on the raft. He flipped the coin. He flipped. He goes, what year?
What year?
That was, 1913. You're just off. 1912.
1912. You just missed.
Yeah.
So close.
What's the year?
1964.
Do you remember that movie, though?
Yeah.
Remember what they had they came aboard. They came on shore, and the camel was licking them, and they didn't see it. Remember? Hey, you don't have to slobber all over me. But anyway, in that scene, that was a real camel.
And he's really licking
him. And he really spit in Bob Hope's eye.
That's awesome.
And Bing Crosby's like laughing because that was not scripted, obviously.
Wonderful.
But they kept it in. Yeah.
You should.
It's great.
Oh,
it's great.
You got to keep those moments
tell,
in.
Like, the camel spits.
Unless the crew just suddenly breaks out in tears, man, and runs on set. You got to keep those scenes.
Crosby was loving it.
So 1964, civil rights workers, Michael Schwerner, Andrew Goodman, James Chaney. They are found dead in Mississippi after disappearing.
Hey, did you read
June
my script?
On June the 21st.
Did you read my script?
No, I have
the
not.
Character?
You don't send me these scripts.
Yeah, I did. I sent everybody. But the character's name is Goodman Chaney Schwermer.
Oh, yeah. You did tell me about that.
Yeah,
yes,
nobody
yes.
knew what the hell that was. That
That's
was
a good reference.
Homage.
It's a good reference.
To these guys.
And again, for people who say that terrorism didn't exist in the U.S. prior to 9/11, go back and look at any of these.
Well, that depends on your definition.
Well, yeah, it's murder, but it's also a terroristic event. Come on, you're terrorizing a community of people. And that just goes for African Americans. All sorts of communities.
I haven't seen that movie in a while.
All sorts of communities of people have been terrorized in the United States. 1964, same date as the three are found. The destroyers.
Yeah, but this didn't really happen.
USS Maddox and USS Turner Joy report coming under attack in the Gulf of Tonkin. One slight problem, Armand.
Yeah, they were in the Arctic Ocean. They weren't even in the Gulf of Tonkin. No, they were there, but not that. Well, you know, I think even Johnson said something like that. They were probably shooting at whales or something like that. I don't know what the hell. He didn't believe it either. But
and the admiral?
Well, it's not one of them was Morrison's
yes.
dad, but the other one, the guy in charge, was what is it, Harriman or something like that? The guy on the Maddox.
On the Maddox, yeah, because Jim Morrison's dad is involved in this.
Yeah,
but this leads to the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, and this leads then to more boots on the ground and the Vietnam War escalating.
Well, that's what the whole point was, apparently. That's what they're nosing around off the coast of North
yeah,
Vietnam,
yeah.
lobbing shells at people. You
right.
know, that's what the whole deal
trying
was.
Trying to instigate.
Chivying into, you know, war, which is a good – we're good at that. We're really good at that.
I got an advanced degree in that.
What do you mean you have?
Oh.
How do you have a –
Oh, I can turn. I can say there's any number of things I can say to you, and it'll just boom.
Yeah,
right
all you
up.
Have to do is put Barack Obama on a piece of paper.
Yeah,
and
that's what I did.
God, jeez, I almost had a coronary.
1977, Jimmy Carter signs legislation, and this legislation creates the Department of Energy, which will
here we go again.
Which I think
you're starting a fight again.
I think will soon be
kaput.
Yeah, I
God,
think it
I
probably
so.
Will be. And a lot of people always assumed these departments have been around forever and ever. No, 77 Department of Energy is founded.
And get rid of Homeland Security while you're at it, too.
I don't know that you can politically do that.
And agriculture.
I don't know that you can politically do that.
You can politically do anything.
I don't know that you can do the Homeland Security one.
Why? Do they do anything? As if the CIA, the FBI, and all these other, you know, there's like all these other organizations. You have to have cabinet level department for this nonsense to waste more money to frisk people at the airport, which should be privatized anyway. Ugh, what a waste.
You want to privatize everything, don't you?
No, I don't privatize this. I want to get rid of it.
The Not Department of Energy.
Department. What do they do? Did they do anything for fracking? Are they the ones that innovated? All they do is set people back. They're destroying the damn nuclear power industry.
Yeah.
That's stupid regulations.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what they do. I thought this was yeah. founded because of nuclear power back in the late
70s. This is because of the
Or was this the result of the oil crisis
right.
from 73?
This is what we do when the price of oil goes up. We Jimmy Carter starts, and I think it was Schlesinger, wasn't it? The first
Arthur Schlesinger,
the first department head of the
first head.
Yeah,
oh.
I think so.
1987, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, rescinds the Fairness Doctrine. Now, here's what the Fairness Doctrine did. That doctrine had required radio and TV stations to present controversial issues fairly.
Okay, and okay. here we go again. Who's the arbiter of
well? Who's
fair?
The arbiter of fairness?
Yeah, right.
But once that trap is taken off, note the year 1987. I wonder who was behind this, by the way, because I can name one gentleman.
Rush Limbaugh.
No, I can name one gentleman who had a very big TV concern going in 1987 and was on cable everywhere. And he had the money. You can't even think of this, can you?
I'm looking up the first.
This would be. This sounds like the Ted Turner.
Oh.
This sounds like something that Ted Turner would
back. He's a big lib. What are you talking about?
Well, that's bad because he doesn't want to have to present anything fairly.
What in the Constitution says you have to present anything fairly?
I don't think anything says it.
Right. So what?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with, like, you know.
Well, look, newspapers.
Air America.
There were fine. Every city.
Right.
In what? Let's pick a year. 1900, 1910.
Okay.
Had a Republican newspaper and a Democrat newspaper. And the public knew which was which. And most of the public probably bought in both newspapers, and you read with a jaundiced eye and distilled.
James Schlesinger,
not Arthur. Okay,
yeah,
my bad.
He's an author, I think.
Yeah. And you distilled and made up your mind.
Well, the only problem—
You got two opinions.
Don't you think, though, okay, if you have a paper, right?
Yes.
Now, here again, of course, there's leanings, but you present the news, but then you have an editorial page about your opinions of the news.
Well,
right?
But even the news presentation gets slanted.
Right, that's the problem.
Yes.
It's what you choose to put in there and what you choose to put on page 17.
No, it's also what you choose. It's not just what you choose to put in there. It's what you choose to leave out.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So I think even in that day and age, you know, we had the Globe Democrat and the Post or whatever.
Well, yeah, no.
You know, but on the editorial page, you kind of saw, this is what happened. We reported that. This is my opinion of what happened.
Right.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
That's not it anymore. Now, you know.
Oh, it's
everything's
all. Look, go do your. Here. I mean, I don't know if you can do this, Armand. You might have a coronary and die.
Yeah, listen, you're trying to kill me today.
Watch either CNN, Fox, or MSNBC for an hour and just jot down how many times a guest or a co host is asked to speculate.
Well, I'm not entirely averse to that.
No. It's not news. Speculation is not news.
Yeah, but that's
it can't, by definition, it can't be news.
Don't watch it then. Okay,
I don't. Simple. That's why I've quit.
Fine.
Wolf,
I don't blame
whenever,
you. Okay.
Whenever I hear an anchor on any station say, what do you think about this? Or what could this mean? Well, it either, like, let's take, for instance, the grand jury being assembled in D.C., For the Russia probe, for the investigation, okay? And is this a big deal for Trump? That's a speculative question. Is this not a big deal for Trump? That's a speculative question. What does a grand jury mean? Now, there is some news. Tell everyone what a grand jury's purpose is. That's the news. What does a grand jury lead to? Well, it can lead to the decision to indict or not to indict, where you go forward with a real trial.
Yeah, but you said it yourself. That's apparently not what people want.
No, it's not what people want. Right, they want their they want their biases.
Okay, then
either way, confirmed.
About the people. I don't complain about CNN. I don't watch it. Okay, but I understand.
You do watch Fox. Does the same thing.
Sure, but they know their audience and they're playing to us.
And
fine.
And so does CNN. CNN
sure.
plays
I'm
and MSNBC plays.
Right.
I'm telling you.
You're the one complaining.
Oddly, the one that didn't. But now they're off the
air.
You're
always complaining about fake news. So what? That's what it is.
No. There's a difference between fake news and slanted news. There's no fake news about the grand jury and the Trump thing. None of that is fake.
Yeah, but you
fake.
Can speculate on what it
okay,
means.
Right. And the speculation is just that, speculation. But it is not fake news.
Well, a lot of this stuff is fake news. Like I said, about the golden showers in Obama's room and things like that. Stuff, totally unsubstantiated stuff. You're bringing up something that's factual. It can be proven. Yeah, they did it. But a lot of this stuff is we have an anonymous source that said this. They don't even tell you the source. They don't tell you where they got it, what they really even said. They paraphrase. I wouldn't even call that fake news. That's just rumor.
That's just innuendo. Rumor and innuendo.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Fake news. News is one past that. Fake news is where you make up a set of would-be facts.
Well, then that's what they do.
But they're saying when you're saying, hey, anonymous sources are telling us that he was golden showered in a Moscow hotel room. See, you're not saying that happened. You're saying you're being told that happened.
Oh, okay. Well,
there's a distinction.
How about when Dan Rather had all those papers supposedly about Bush, and they were obviously forged?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not fake news. And I'll go you one better. I'd say, look, somebody had some birth certificate supposedly of Obama's that was proven not to be the right one. That's fake news. I get it. I'm just kidding about the Kenya stuff.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. But also, keeping a distinction between fake news and bad reporting.
Well,
like, for instance, about 3 weeks ago, CNN had an instance of bad reporting.
Just one?
I said 3 weeks ago they had an instance of bad reporting.
Every 3 minutes they have bad reporting.
Oh, okay, hold on.
They hate this guy, okay? There's no getting around it.
Fox News is right in the crosshairs of making up the entire Seth Rich story.
They're not making anything up. They didn't say that. Who do they say? Do they have a story that such and Hillary killed him? They're asking questions, and all they're saying is it seems to be that.
I don't think you're up to date.
Show me. It's on YouTube. Show me. What did they say?
There's evidence now that there's collaboration on the Seth Rich story, completely made up.
Where's this evidence? I haven't seen it.
Completely made. Well,
I watch Fox News all the time.
Yeah, because they're not going to say anything about it.
So they're not saying anything about it, so they're guilty.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, are they the ones that...
Yes, they're the ones who started the story. They are the ones who started the story.
Yeah, because there is a mystery. Nobody knows what happened to this guy, and certain things don't make sense. As if anybody's going to pursue this anyway. Look at what they're going after Trump for this stuff.
I don't know what they'll pursue.
Yeah. Hillary gives away 20% of our uranium stock to the Russians. No big deal. No problem. Her husband's over there giving lectures, making $500,000 to banks that are getting special favors as she's Secretary of State. Nobody has a problem with that. That's bullshit. Double standard? But that's the way it goes. I mean, I'm not complaining about it because I hate Hillary. It's just the way it is. The media is predominantly Democrat. 90%, 99%. Well, I don't know how many stations there are, but Fox News is the only one. You know that. That's big news. Those are the ravings of a lunatic.
For the last 20 years, the airwaves of this country have been predominantly on the side of one party. One.
Gee, now I wonder what libertarians?
No.
Green Party?
No.
Well, then I don't know.
Yeah.
Come on. You claim to be a media mogul.
You want to count up all the right wing?
Are you kidding?
Radio?
Me? How many people?
You want to count them all up?
How many people you think that are in that White House press corps voted for Trump?
I have no idea.
None. Maybe the guy from Fox. Maybe.
I have no idea.
What do you mean no idea? Of course you have an idea.
Oh, you want me to make it? You want me to speculate? You want me to speculate?
No, they say it. 90%. Here I go. You want me to get the reports? They're not ashamed of it. Over 90% of these reporters and people working on these newspapers vote Democrat. That's okay. What are you going to do? But there's a bias.
Still their job to report the news fairly.
I didn't say anything about what they're doing. I'm just saying that creeps in everything, though. Of course it does.
Federal judge in 1993 sentences Stacey Kuhn and Lawrence Powell.
Who are they?
Well, you're going to recognize their names in a minute because they get 30 months in prison for violating motorist Rodney King's civil rights. Let me rephrase that. They got 30 months in prison for beating the living tar out of Rodney King with billy clubs.
Yeah, that didn't look good. There were that was bad PR.
That was brutal.
Well, these guys paid the price.
30 months? Not
well, I don't know.
I don't know what the I know what happened after the court case.
Yeah, they. Well, fortunately, I didn't live in L.A. At that time.
Boy, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No, not really.
Because, look, anyone familiar with Los Angeles, or if you live in Los Angeles around, I can't imagine what it was like in 93.
Well, in certain areas.
I don't
think the whole city was aflame.
No, not the whole city, but look.
These gated communities where the movie stars live were doing just fine.
You drive up through the Hollywood Hills and look back at the basin and the big grid, you're going to see the smoke and flames.
Yeah, but I think it was mostly like Compton, right?
Yeah.
Compton and Watts and, like I said, the Pacific Palisades and Malibu.
I know they weren't affected.
Yeah, I don't think they had the riots there. Not that, but that's always the way it is, But the thing is, these cops, they got a tough job. Now, this is obviously excessive, but man, oh man. I think it's going the other way now. They're probably afraid to do anything.
Well, I have said,
they don't show up to calls anymore.
I have a cousin who's a police officer, and my biggest fear for him is not that he shoots an unarmed person. My biggest fear for him is he's too, how should you say it?
Hesitant?
Too hesitant to maybe go to the methods he was trained to use because he doesn't want to be that officer.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it changes once you have a family member in blue. It really does.
Listen, your whole career could be good. Not only, yeah, you can go to jail like these guys. At the best, you get kicked off the force.
Right.
You lose your whole career because you got too aggressive, you know.
And what's the line between, you know.
Well, that's the problem, yeah.
Especially if it's being videotaped.
Right. Everybody's got a phone.
Yeah. I mean, this is no defense of Kuhn and Powell. That tape. And I remember watching it as
that was obvious. They went crazy on this guy.
They lost their minds.
Yeah, they lost. Well,
they lost their minds.
But here again, adrenaline's a crazy thing.
I know.
You know? Like,
I know.
Yeah. Which, of course, they're trained not to do that. But you know, I was just reading an article on Von Mises Institute. They had a great article on what we talk about all the time. Why it's better. Why the cops? You know what they do? They just, instead of going after rapists and the big crimes, they go after a bunch of little crimes, preferably drugs, so they can take your van and your car and your truck, and they get they crack down on crime because look how many people we arrested this month.
Yeah,
and the judge is the same thing. I'm tough on crime.
Look, it produces stats.
Yeah,
right. It produces.
So we got
stats.
The numbers, and that's why there's a great article. I'll show it to you. You ought to read it. You'd love it. Well, we don't love it. It's true though.
Yeah, no,
it makes sense.
It produces stats.
Right. Why this drug war is perfect because everybody's happy. You know. Because the judges can say, wow, look at all the people I sent to jail.
Well, the drug lords are happy because the prices stay high.
Yeah. So, and look at all the equipment we got.
Yeah. Everybody gets a bunch of neat gear.
They were talking about this one.
The militarization of the police.
This one group that this family, did you hear about them? That they were staked out. The cops were apparently staked out at Home Depot and caught this family getting too much fertilizer or whatever.
Uh-oh.
And the idea was they're going and growing pot plants.
Yeah.
And of course they weren't, but they arrested. Now there's like a $7 million lawsuit because they just broke into the house.
Oh, no.
Yeah, terrorize these people. And I don't know what they're growing, who knows what, Brussels sprouts.
Growing azaleas or beets.
Whatever.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Right.
But the point is, and they made a good point, you got enough time to sit at a Home Depot and stake out the garden department?
The garden department.
And wait for people to buy.
Huh.
Yeah. It's quite an article.
Now, if you pull up with a U-Haul and load it with fertilizer.
Well,
I want my police officers to know.
Timothy McVeigh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want my police officers to know.
But you would think that somebody's going to talk and say, hey, wait a minute. Anyway, but what are we on here?
Well, we're wrapping up with who died on this date. I only have four. One I know that you will like.
I got an extra
You probably
one.
Have an extra one. Yeah. 1859, John Vianney died, the French priest and saint. Many high schools are named after him.
I'm aware of one.
Yeah.
They have very cheap trivia contests.
Do they? Oh.
Yeah. Did I tell you about that? They had like, I don't know, you know, the usual trivia contests.
Yeah, win about 200.
Right. Okay. Right. That's what the prize was. Yeah. And there were like 70 tables.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a
big
one. So we won, and we go up there to collect
our prize. A nice pat on the back?
Yeah. Well, they said, what money?
Oh.
Well, we thought you guys would want to give that back.
No, don't assume.
No, we don't.
I used to do that stuff.
Dig in your pocket and get
it out. I used to do that stuff, and now at a trivia night, you know what I do? I tell the table in advance, we win, we're taking the money.
Right.
Can we all agree on that? We're taking the money. We're not everybody claps because you gave the money back.
Right.
No, I won. I'm smarter than you tonight. I'm taking my money.
Right. Well, these guys didn't even have the money. I mean, I've seen it where they give it to you like, do you want it? You know, you don't want it.
Yeah.
We've had that. These guys had to go pick
it up. Yeah, give it to
me. Rifling through their pockets to get the money. And they said, well, we'll let you guys play free next year. Well, thanks.
No, thanks.
We won our $200 too.
No, no.
So that's Vianney trivia night.
Yeah. I don't think that's what St. John Vianney had in mind.
I'm not going to. I'm not damning him. Yeah.
1875, Hans Christian Andersen passes away.
I got to say, I never got into this.
You know, I was forced to read it, and I hated it.
Yeah,
and
I don't know. What's with this guy?
Yeah, his silver
the
skates
duckling.
Or something. And
that's Hans Brinker, isn't it?
I don't know.
This guy wrote the
Danish.
Ugly Dunk. Ugly. There's a nice statue of him in Copenhagen.
Oh, good.
But who played him?
Hans Christian?
Yeah.
Oh.
Danny Kaye.
Oh, okay. 1999, Vic Mature passes away.
This guy was one of pretty rich guy. You know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he wanted to join a club. Remember this golf club or something in L.A. somewhere? And he said, well, listen, we don't take actors. He goes, I'm not an actor, and I've got 64 films to prove it. I think they let him join.
64 films to prove.
He was rather self-effacing. He had a torrid affair with Esther Williams when they were making Million Dollar Mermaid.
Did they always have to meet underwater?
She was an underwater specialist. Remember that?
No. What's that from?
Slap shot. God
damn
Morris. She kind of rubbed up against me, Reg. Oh, man. Anyway, the worst bit of casting, though, remember My Darling Clementine?
Yes.
Where you got Victor Mature, who's built like Johnny Weissmuller.
Right.
He's playing Doc Holliday, tuberculoid.
Way too fit.
Yeah, not a good bit of – well, Kirk Douglas played him 57.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's, he's ready to bounce somebody's head off a turnbuckle, too.
Yeah.
So these guys are tuberculoids.
Ugh.
He's a great actor, and he's very rich. He was very good.
How'd he make the money? He invested.
He's a big, good investor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very smart with his money. His big one was, of course, Samson and Delilah. These biblical epics.
He's in the big time.
Before Charlton Heston came along, because he made Samson and Delilah, which is a great movie, actually. I like that movie. And Cecil B. DeMille, of course. And The Robe, remember? And he was Demetrius in The Gladiators.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was Demetrius, the gladiator.
That's some big hit. He had a career.
Oh, yeah. Biblical epics. And then you didn't put in as
I
far
left
as
off.
How about Melvin Douglas?
I don't know Melvin Douglas.
He died in 81.
Okay.
He's an actor, man.
Okay.
Melvin
Give me something,
Hesselberg. Though. Well, HUD.
Oh,
he was the dad. He won the Academy Award.
He was best supporting actor in 1963.
And being there, he won for that too.
For being there, too. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I got the face. Okay.
Yeah, that's Melvin Douglas. He's interesting thing about him. He was married to Helen Gehagen. Okay, that's his wife. She was the one that ran against Nixon in 1950 for the Senate. Remember, he said, "Yeah, she's pink right down to her panties."
Jeez.
Yeah, and then she called him Tricky Dick.
Yes.
Well, that was Melvin Douglas's wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She lost.
For that representative seat for
senator.
Senator. Oh, that was the senatorial seat.
Yeah.
Not the rep seat.
Right.
Okay.
And Samuel Tilden, 1886, he died. Now, he's the one that got screwed by, the Rutherford B. Hayes.
Yes.
That election, yes. 76.
Yeah, he should have been president.
Yeah, for sure.
He had a presidential name, too. Samuel Tilden. That works.
Not bad.
That works.
And then anybody who's a screenwriter knows this guy. 2009, Blake Snyder.
Blake Snyder.
Yeah, he did this whole series called Save the Cat. I've got all his books.
Save the Cat.
Yeah, well, basically saying that's his way of saying, when you introduce your main character, have him do something nice so we like him, like Save a Cat. He's got a very good series on structure. He died young. I don't know what killed him, but he was a young guy. But now a lot of these producers that really know nothing anyway, that's why now the Save the Cat is kind of the accepted structure in Hollywood. And that kind of, that goes, because it used to be Sid Field, and then it was, I got them all, if you go in my room, you'll see all these guys, but they all have their own structure.
Yeah.
But now it's Blake Snyder's the one that some stupid jerk out of film school is going to ask you, what's fun and games in this script, and what's your midpoint, and this, because they read Save the Cat.
Yeah.
They still know nothing. Remember Jim Cramer? They know nothing. Remember, that was actually 10 years ago yesterday. Remember that? You seen that? Remember? That fit he threw?
Yes.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago. Jim's right on the money, except this is Hollywood producers.
My final one for the day, 2014, 15th White House Press Secretary James Brady passed away.
Man, he had a pretty rough go.
He was shot in March of 1981 in the attempted Ronald Reagan assassination by Hinckley.
Yeah.
He was shot and made the rest of his life the best that he could, and he really did a marvelous job. And he advocated for gun control.
I guess he got shot in the spine. Already got shot in the head.
Yeah.
Paralyzed if you got shot in the head.
It was in the head.
And I think occipital lobe.
It was
at the base of the skull.
The base of the skull, and I think it severed.
Obviously. Yeah.
And he was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And he was from Southern Illinois, by the way. He's from Centralia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He advocated for gun control. He wasn't advocating for gun repeal. He was advocating for, gun control. So he really post the tragic incident in 1981, spent the next, probably 30. He died in 2014. 33 years going out and making appearances and giving presentations. So, yeah, well done to James Brady.
Because, well, I have one little incident that
basically you don't come back from that, but he made the most of it.
You ever seen that Rodin sculpture, the Burgers of Calais?
No, I've never seen the
Burgers. Oh, man.
Well, I probably
it's one
have.
It's most famous. You probably recognize it if you saw it. Anyway, this is the Siege of Calais in 1347.
Are we back to an event?
Well, I put it at the bottom of the page to end with something interesting because I like that sculpture. Anyway, the British have Calais. Sorry, this is 1347.
They got a
100 years war.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah,
they've got the siege.
They got a siege going on.
Oh yeah,
and they got a blockade going on.
11 months, and I believe it was Edward III, and he's got this town, and it's like 11 months. So this is Leningrad, you know, kind of a precursor.
Oh,
they're eating dogs and rats
and
everything else
that
moves, and basically they finally give up, and Edward III wants to punish them. For their obstinance and insolence. So he says, give me six, you know, I want six of your richest guys because, you know what's coming.
Yeah, he's going to draw and
God only knows.
Him.
Yeah,
right.
Who knows what's going to happen. And just as he's about to, Queen Philippa, nice gal, you know, Queen Mary, I mean, for the Virgin Mary, please spare these burghers of this country, of this city.
Yes.
So they're the burghers of Calais. And he said, okay, go home. So he let him go. And Rodin, of course,
did a statue of the burghers.
He immortalized this in his statue of the burghers of Calais.
Oh,
actually, Calais is the last English possession in France. Lost by Mary Tudor.
Ah,
that was the last French possession of the.
Well, have you seen Dunkirk yet?
No, have you?
I'm going to this weekend. I will see Dunkirk this weekend.
Really?
Speaking of French port towns.
Can you sneak me in?
I'll open the door to the back so you don't have to pay.
Like the beaver?
Yeah.
Remember that when King Gilbert did that?
Yeah, Lumpy will be there holding the door for
Eddie
you.
Eddie Haskell? Hey, man, times are tough.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can take up medicine.
Can you take your phone and make me a pirate copy?
No, I will not do that. No. You could go back to practicing medicine.
You ain't no fun, boy.
Yeah.
Obama's out of office.
All right. August 4th in the books. That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any podcast outlet will do. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. And for my producers and my co-hosts, for Armand Kachigian, Andrew Allen, Brian Kroc, Corey Smith, our show writer, this has been This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. We'll be with you again when August 7th rolls around here at Lineup Media. So long.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.